Hi everyone, I'm Detective Sergeant Dana Costin, Public Affairs Officer for the Cape Coral Police Department. A few days ago, I got together with Captain Tony Sizemore from our patrol bureau. He and I grabbed a cup of coffee at a local coffee shop, and we started talking about some issues that are facing our citizens here in Cape Coral and our patrol officers out on the beat. And we've done this before. We've just set a recorder down and started recording our conversation and then grabbed part of it that sounded good and we thought that we might want to share. So this is kind of a peek inside of a discussion over coffee between the two of us. And we talk about things like our Lock It or Lose It program, property crime in general here in Cape Coral, the theft of firearms that we're seeing in the city, and ways that citizens can mitigate their risk at becoming victims. This is the second such podcast that we've done, and what we'd ask is that after you listen to this, if you would give us some feedback, regardless of where you listen to this, let us know if you liked it, if you didn't like it, or what topics you might want to hear about in future podcasts. Your feedback is going to help determine the type of content that we're able to provide to you. Our goal in doing these and any of our other social media experiments, so to speak, are really to inform our citizens, to educate them, and sometimes even entertain them. And we know that spoken word content like podcasts or talk radio, those type of things, are very popular because you can listen to them while you're doing other things. I will tell you that the audio quality in the file is a little rough because we are out in the community and there's background noise from the restaurant. But we hope that you'll stick with it and give it a listen and let us know what you think.
You know, I was looking at the Facebook page, and I did that public service announcement back in April that said, you know, as of today, we've had 21 guns stolen out of unlocked cars here in the Cape. And then I did an interview last week with a couple of news outlets, and that number has gone from April, it's gone from 21 to, I believe, 34.
Yeah, we're over 30. That was, we were just under 30 at the town hall that we did when we talked about unlocked vehicles. And now that we're into July, we're over 30. And by virtue of breaking into a car, even though it's unlocked, you're a criminal.
A felon.
And the second you arm yourself, you're an armed felon. So we've had over 30 instances where we've had armed felons on the street. And they don't fade into the limelight. They resurface in other crimes. I believe you did a release last week, or maybe even a week and a half ago, where one of those said guns was found.
Suspicious car in the park.
Yeah. It wasn't just a random thing. It was a suspicious vehicle. Our officers proactively saw that, relied on their instincts, and decided to check out on it. And they lit up the vehicle with their flashlights to illuminate the inside, see what they were walking up on. And they saw the driver making movements as if he was stuffing something under the front seat. They approached, they made contact, they checked what he was stuffing, and lo and behold, it was a loaded pistol, handgun, that happened to be one of those 30-plus guns that were taken. So that right there is a prime example that felons arming themselves and these guns reoccurring and being within arm's reach of our officers out on patrol.
Well, let's be honest, too. I had a couple of reporters ask me, well, what are they doing with the guns? Are they selling them? No, they're not selling the guns. The guns are going to end up being used in other crimes. This particular one, you know, these guys are smoking weed or dope in a park, but chances are really good that was going to turn into another bad life choice either later that night or sometime down the road involving that gun.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of times where these guns are taken in an underground fashion and they're used and used for protection, so to speak, by the people that take them for drug dealing or break-ins or burglaries or just trying to be a bravado, I guess you'd say.
Sure.
And when young people are not really in control of those emotions and they get upset and guns are involved, you see bad things happen. And that's a lot of times when we find where these guns are.
And we're finding the guns during incidental contacts with people who were out on other police calls. So we didn't go there for a gun call. We went there for a suspicious vehicle call. It turned into a gun call. Same thing that happened a few weeks before that when we had the officer involved shooting in the North End. We responded on vehicle burglary. Turned out the burglar already had a gun in his waistband. So we're getting these guns from one burglary on another call.
Right. And that highlights just the dangers that law enforcement officers face. And it's a light has been shined on that with the recent events across the country. But it just goes to show, even here in Cape Coral, if, for example, if I dispatched you to a call and the call for service was a gun involved, you're automatically heightened and ready for that gun involved. If I dispatch you to a benign call or something totally unrelated, and then you stumble upon that gun, it just highlights the fact that those dangers are present any type of call for service that we respond to.
Now, the thing that jumped out at me is I looked at the reports, and when you were the public affairs officer, you talked about it. I've done countless interviews talking about lock it or lose it. The fact of the matter is 90 to 95% of our vehicle burglaries are unlocked cars. You know, talk a little bit about what are we doing about that? How are we trying to get the word out? I mean, this was a topic that we did discuss at the Chief's Town Hall meeting.
Sure. And what we talked about there, and one of the highlights that we always tell groups, we're the second safest city in Florida, and the only thing keeping us from being number one are property crimes. And we're a victim of our own success. We are one of the safest cities in not only Florida, but the United States.
Actually, I just saw a report. We're number 17 in the whole United States.
17th safest city in the United States, which is incredible when you think about that. And what that does, when I say a victim of our own success, you hear those numbers, and it's so infrequently that there's random violent crime that you let your guard down on property crime, such as, I just got home, it's a safe neighborhood, it's Cape Coral, one of the safest cities in Florida. I don't need to lock my doors. When you leave your doors unlocked and they're a prime target for somebody who's out doing auto burglaries. Or you forget and you remember later in the night, I'll get it tomorrow. Or it just is not on the forefront of your thinking because it is such a safe place. And because of that, it's a target-rich environment for people who prey upon that. We would make that a priority in our own personal lives and practice what we call target hardening, essentially make the neighbor, their house, or their property more attractive to criminals, albeit on the short end, that looks pretty mean to your neighbor, but if the neighbor does it, and their neighbor does it, and so on and so forth, you essentially push the criminals out of your neighborhood because it's just not a place, it's not a fertile ground for crime. And that's what we're trying to accomplish through awareness, interviews such as this, town halls, public service announcements, social media sharing, just to get everybody in that frame of mind that we don't live in a dangerous community. However, the opportunity for property crime is very rampant because of that success.
And I guess to be clear, and I've said this before too, but and I assume you're still seeing it, the majority of our car burglaries are committed by youthful offenders, juveniles who are either staying over at a friend's house on a weekend and they go wandering late at night, or over spring break, Christmas break, summer break like we're currently on now when the kids don't have somewhere to be in the morning.
Right. It's idle time and they're looking for things to do, and you're exactly right. Juvenile offenders or first-time juvenile offenders. This is the first time that they've been exposed to something like this. They're bored. They team up with some buddies and they walk the neighborhood. A lot of times they're starting off with something very benign. Let's go play basketball. We're done with basketball. Let's go to the store. Now we're walking home. Okay, let's see if there's any change in that car. Let's see if there's any iPhones or iPads or laptops or any type of electronics. And they'll just start checking door handles. Very easy to do. And you keep going. They call it car hopping. And you hop cars until you find one that's unlocked. You go in, take change, take money, prescription pills. Firearms, in some of the instances that we're talking about, electronics, valuables, and just the peace of mind that gets taken from you that we are the 17th safest city in the United States, one of the safest in Florida, a great place to live, work, play, raise a family, and then your confidence is shattered when you come out and somebody's been in your property. And to be in your car, they've come onto your land. and it's a very unnerving ordeal.